We're enjoying Crossway's sponsorship of this season and enjoying lots of their recent titles. Resilient Faith was written during the pandemic, and Lewis and Sarah Allen write into a world which has been paralysed by fear and anxiety. Amidst the paralysis, they encourage us to stand firm in our faith because God is strong, and in him we have everything we need. They address our need for rest and the wisdom in stopping, but entrench us in rigorous biblical understanding that shows us that we can and should be resilient in our faith by God's grace. I'll be recommending this book to many. Grab a copy from Crossway.
Welcome to Two Sisters and a Cup of Tea. My name is Sarah. I live in the UK. This is my sister Felicity, and she lives in the States. And today we're cracking on with John, and we're into the rest of chapter 6, verses 22 to 71. And Felicity, today we're going to be seeing that Jesus is the bread of life. But I wonder, he doesn't say he's the biscuit of life, and why not? Let's discuss that first.
Why not? Why are biscuits not in the Bible? Is that what you're asking? I think, you know, there's something about bread that is like all sustaining. You know, I'm not diminishing the value of the biscuit, but the fact that it sustains me for maybe a 5 minutes after I've eaten it, rather than, you know, whole day level of sustenance. Unless there is a biscuit out there that could do that job. I think bread is the better picture. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it's the better picture because he's chosen it. So that is why it's the better picture, isn't it? But also, as I say to my kids, well, I just did say to one of my children, I was like, biscuit is a sometimes food and not an everyday food. And he was like, no, it's an everyday food. It's not, is it? So for Jesus to say he's a sometimes and not an everyday, yes, the nourishment would be significant, I think, in a change of theology.
Like, yeah, and only good with a cup of tea. I mean, again, yes, that's like conditional to this, yeah.
I think there's a rabbit hole here.
I was going to say, shall I read the actual passage and shall we get into the actual bread of life?
Please.
So we're John chapter 6, verses 22 through to 71. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who's heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil?" He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him.
Wow, thank you so much in there. I feel like this is one of those passages where there are so many pithy sayings, aren't there? There are so many kind of nuggets of gold that it's quite hard to know where to start. Felicity, where did you start in kind of getting your head around what is being said here?
I think it's really helpful that, as ever, that it comes after the thing before. And so we have... He's just fed 5,000 plus, you know, thousands of people with bread. And it's a miraculous sign that we've just seen. And so I feel like these two very clearly go together. We've seen who Jesus is through the sign. And now we're understanding more of who he is in terms of being the bread of life in this, you know, it's a pretty lengthy dialogue, isn't it? An explanation of what's going on. And the thing which really kind of helped me to get into the text to begin with was just really the classic going for the repeated words and phrases and noticing that life just comes up again and again and again. Life, eternal life, spirit and life, like everything is life.
Yeah, and there's a kind of, I noticed that the life and the living and forever and the eternity kind of theme alongside the believe, coming to Jesus, believe, looking to him, remaining in him, feeding on him. So those kind of things going together. But I also noticed the trajectory of people's response towards him. So we kind of had his, the desire for people to believe and his request that people just believe and come to him. But also, I don't know whether you noticed it as we were reading through, but how people were responding in this section itself. We've got in verse 41, people began to grumble. In verse 43, grumbling again. In verse 52, where is it? They began to argue sharply among themselves. In verse 61, we've got grumbling again. So we've got this kind of trajectory of grumbling, arguing. And then verse 66, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him after all he's just said. And then we've got this kind of contrast at the end between Peter, who says, "Wow, yes, you have the words of eternal life," and then the kind of prediction of the betrayal of Judas. And I just think it's really striking that Jesus is talking a lot about believing in him and on him, and yet this kind of undercurrent of grumbling, arguing, deserting him is kind of flowing alongside him.
Yeah, I think that, and that's such a helpful thing to see, and to see that the response is not guaranteed in the sense of it seems so clear, as you were saying, believe in Jesus, come to the bread of life, and you will have life. That seems like a no-brainer, but the reality is that the response to the gospel, to Jesus' declaration of himself, not everyone will believe. And I think it's so reassuring then to have this little thread of God's sovereignty kind of running through it when he says, where is it? He said, verse 37, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." There's a kind of, that God is definitely in control of this. This is not out of his control. I really appreciate that in terms of, as I think about, if I tell someone else about Jesus being the bread of life, this is where life is, And you feel like, oh, come on.
Yeah, she
got his.
And it's so simple. Like, you know, they're saying, what do we need to do? And he's like, it's not about doing. All the only work you do is to believe in the one he sent. Like, it's so simple, isn't it, what he's requesting of his followers to do, to believe in him. Let's zoom in on then what he does say about himself. So he says, I am the bread of life. Felicity, where did that take you? Talk to us about how you kind of delved into that kind of picture.
I love with verse 35, that's where the declaration is, isn't it? I am the bread of life. And the next sentence is, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And there's this idea of satisfaction, of kind of being abundantly provided for. And isn't food and drink such a great way of showing that? Because we're talking here about spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. It's not that everyone who believes in Jesus is going to have, you know, a feast every day. But what we have is a spiritual feast, and a feast which will actually never run out. Like, you will never be dissatisfied by this, which, you know, I know we talked last time about just dipping our toes into the Old Testament kind of lake. And this, I think, brings to mind Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, where we
should
have...
Should I just read it for us? Because I just think it's so good. So Isaiah 55 verse 1 says this, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. And just that, it's so obvious what Jesus is doing. When you read something like that, the way that Jesus is really, he's saying, come here, isn't he? The kind of, you'll never go hungry, you'll never thirst. This, he is the fulfillment of all that is being promised back then. And he's saying, I'm it. And if you come to me, I love this phrase as well. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isn't that just beautiful? And the whoever, like you've helpfully, Felicity, pointed out earlier when we were talking about this before, that back in the wilderness in Exodus, the manna was just for Israel at that point. It was just for God's people. But here it's whoever. The invitation is open wide to whoever, and it is just as much for us today as it was back for the disciples who were listening there in the moment to Jesus. And it's beautiful.
It is, isn't it? And I love that it's not a kind of, you eat this bread and then that's it. You're kind of on your own. Like, the bread gets you into life, if you like. But actually, the bread is the means by which all your spiritual needs will be met forever. Like, that is never going to end. And that starts now, doesn't it? As we come to Jesus and believe in Jesus and trust in him and abide in him and eat of his flesh and drink of his, like, the kind of the all-consuming nature, the all-sustaining nature of what it is to come to him as the bread of life. I think it's helpful just to kind of clarify the manna thing a bit. So back in Exodus, we do have this manna provision God provides for the people in the desert. And the Jews here are saying, well, yeah, but you're not Moses. He's saying, Jesus is saying, actually, it wasn't Moses who provided the manna, it was God. And this is God providing a bigger, better, longer lasting, eternally providing manna.
And so it does seem extraordinary, doesn't it, that like they're watching for a sign, like they're saying, come on, give us a sign. He's like, I've literally just fed thousands of people with bread from heaven, and you're asking for a sign. What is going on? It's just so striking, isn't it? Okay, so let's take this just a bit further then, as we drive it to our own hearts, in terms of us feeding on Jesus, us, you know, what's that Deuteronomy phrase that we really enjoyed?
This word is my life. This word is your
life. This word is my life. Yeah, this word is your life. And no one lives by bread alone, but on the very words of God. I mean, there's so many places you could go with just this. And I think, you know, yeah, we've not got much time. But where do we take this for us today in terms of what it looks like to feed on Jesus as the bread of life?
We have it in chapter 6, verse 63 here. The spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. And so Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. these words that I am speaking to you, these give you life. So the kind of the means by which we have life is his word. And it really persuades me that I want to be feeding on his word. And not just selectively. I think the bread imagery is just so all-sustaining. And so it makes me think this word is enough for every need I have. Every spiritual need I have is met in here. And the challenge to me this week, one of the challenges has been, where am I tempted to look as a means of filling my needs in another way? What other kind of promises am I believing that are false promises actually in comparison to this? And that's true for me and for some, I'm thinking about my unbelieving friends and where are they looking to basically avoid death or kind of deal with the death problem? I think that's been one of the challenges for me. What about you? How has it kind of pushed into your heart and your life this week?
I think taking that and kind of flipping it and thinking through, well, what in my life is dulling my appetite for this bread? What feels more appealing than sitting and feasting on the very words of God? And I think Kristen was really helpful on this, on just kind of calling out some of the distractions and some of the kind of deceptions of our culture and of my own heart, in thinking that there is something more glowy and twinkly than feeding on the very words of life that are spirit and life, and just having that exposed in my heart. That's a really challenging thing. But it's a good thing because it helps me to see, well, what am I looking for life? Where am I going for life if it's not these words, and if it's not to Christ himself, who promises, as we were saying last week, this is the most attractive thing, that he gives us everything. He's never going to drive me away. I'm never going to go hungry. I'm never going to thirst. Like, he's going to give me all that I need. And I don't need to work for it. I don't need to strive for it. It is here for the taking as I continue to believe on him each and every day. And just the kind of being able to rest in that, and then to be able to really enjoy, even if my portion today is small, even if it's not as much as I want it to be, any words that I can feast, any words that I can kind of consume from this bread of life, then that's a gift from the Lord, isn't it? We live in an extraordinarily privileged age where I can hold the word of life in my hand. I'm not dependent on anyone else communicating it to me. I can read it in my own language and I can feast on it. And I just think I need to keep remembering the privilege of that and enjoying the bread of life.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good starting point for it, isn't it? The enjoyment of that, the privilege of that, which would then prompt us to then prioritize it and to hold it out then as the words of life to others.
Yeah.
Shall I pray as we think about that? Father, we praise you so much for the words of life we have here. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life and that he calls us to come and feast. We praise you that in that we have unendingly satisfying eternity. Life is here. Pray that you persuade us of that more and more. Thrill us with that, delight us in that, help us to enjoy that, that we might love to feast on your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's good. It's good to be feasting on it, isn't it? It does feel very short. Like, we have tackled quite a big chunk of scripture there, and there's so much in there. And I just want to go back and really pull out all the kind of the really big verses and just kind of dwell a bit more on those.
I know. Even as I was reading it out loud, I was like, wow, this is a lot. Yeah.
I wonder for those listening whether there's someone who comes to mind right now who you think needs to be reminded this week that Jesus is their bread of life, and that when they come to him, he will never drive them away. I wonder who comes to mind that you could remind them of that precious truth today. And we are praying for you to that end. We've really enjoyed getting into chapter 6. Next week, next Friday, we'll be in chapter 7. And we look forward to seeing you again then.
See you then. Bye-bye. This season is sponsored by Crossway.